Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayana Namaskritya Naram Chava Narottamam Devam Sarasvatim Vyasam Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 43, Text 17. Malanam asanan rinam naravara strinam smaramurtimam. Upana swajana satam shiti bhujam shasta swapitro shishu. Rityur bhoja patevirat avidusham tattvam param yoginam. Rishninam para devatetti viditu rangam. Rishninam para devatetti viditu rangam gata svagrajaha. Malanam asha nirvinam naravara strinam smaharoho murtiman. Gupanam svajano satam shiti bhujam shasta svapitro shishu. Rityur bhoja patevirat avidusham tattvam paharam yoginam. Rishinam para devatetti vidito rangam gata svagraja. Malanam for the wrestlers. Ashani lightning. Nrinam for the males. Naravara the best of men. Strinam for the women. Smara Cupid. Murtiman, incarnate. Gopanam, for the cowards. Svajana, their relative. Asatam, impious. Shiti Bhujam, for the kings. Shasta, a punisher. Svapitro, for his parents. Shishu, a child. Mrityu, death. Bhojapate, for the king of the Bhojas. Kamsa, Virat, the totality of the material universe. Avidusham, for the unintelligent. Tatvam, the truth. Param, supreme. Yoginam, for the yogis. Vrishninam, for the members of the Vrishni dynasty. Paradevata, their most worshipful deity. Iti, in these ways. Vidita, understood. Rangam, the arena. Gataha, he entered. Sa, along with. Agraja, his elder brother. Translation of purport by the dependence of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The various groups of people in the arena regarded Krishna in different ways when he entered it with his elder brother. The wrestlers saw Krishna as a lightning bolt, the Menamatura as the best of males, the women as Cupid in person, the coward men as their relative, the impious rulers as a chastiser, his parents as their child, the king of Boja as death, the unintelligent as the Supreme Lord's universal form, the yogis as the absolute truth, and the Vrishnis as a supreme worshipful deity. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami quotes the following verse, which explains the 10 attitudes towards Krishna described here. Rodro bhutascha shringaro hasyam virodayatata bayanakascha bibatsaha shantasa prema bhaktikaha. There are 10 different moods. Fury, perceived by the wrestlers. Wonder, by the men. Conjugal attraction, the women. Laughter, the cowards. Chivalry, the kings. Mercy, his parents. Terror, Kamsa. Ghastliness, in parentheses, the unintelligent. Peaceful neutrality, the yogis. And loving devotion, the Vrishnis. Srila Vishvanath Chakravarti points out that people, like the wrestlers, Kamsa, and the impious rulers, perceive Krishna as dangerous, angry, or threatening because they fail to understand the actual position of the personality of Godhead. Actually, Lord Krishna is everyone's friend and well-wisher. But because we rebel against him, he chastises us, and thus we may perceive him as threatening. Krishna or God is actually merciful, and when he punishes us, that is also his mercy. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur quotes the following Vedic statement, Rasavai saha rasam hyavyevam lavavnadi bhavati. He himself is ras, the taste or mellow of a particular relationship. And certainly one who achieves this rasa becomes a nandi, filled with bliss. Tatriya Upanishad. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati quotes a further verse to explain the word rasa. Yatitya bhavanam vartma yas chamakkara bharabhu Vidi sattva jale badam svadatte sarasomataha. That which is beyond imagination, heavy with wonder, and relished in the heart, shining with goodness, such is known as rasa. As Srila Rupa Goswami elaborately explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are 5 main rasas: neutrality, servitude, friendship, parental love, and conjugal love. And 7 secondary rasas: amazement, humor, chivalry, compassion, fury, fear, and dread. Thus altogether, there are 12 rasas. And the supreme object of them all is Sri Krishna himself. In other words, our love and affection are actually meant for Sri Krishna. Unfortunately, out of ignorance, we stubbornly try to squeeze happiness and love out of material relationships, which are not directly connected to Krishna. And thus, life becomes a constant frustration. The solution is simple: surrender to Krishna. Love Krishna. Love Krishna's devotees and be happy forever. Translation once again. The various groups of people in the arena regarded Krishna in different ways when he entered it with his elder brother. The wrestlers saw Krishna as a lightning bolt, the men of Mathura as the best of males, the women as Cupid in person, the coward men as their relative, the impious rulers as a chastiser, his parents as their child, and the king of the Bhojas as death, the unintelligent as the Supreme Lord's universal form, and the yogis as the absolute truth, and the Vrishnis as the supreme worshipful deity. Om Ajnana Timiram Dasya Janam Jana Salakaya Chakshuram Maditam Yanya Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadam Ayam Dadati Svapatam Tikam Vansakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhihi Vachapatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Kam Kuroti Vatavam Pangum Lam Kalai Degirim Yakripata Mahambande Shri Gurum Dinatarnam Chi Paramabda Vatavam Shri Chaitanyishvaram So here we're reading about, this is the climactic event of where Krishna, he's entering the wrestle arena. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes that this is the most amazing feature of the Lord's glories, as I was describing the other day. As he walks in, there's different personalities looking at Krishna according to different degrees of appreciation, different degrees of love, different degrees of fear, different degrees of different modes of awe and reverence. So the gopis are looking at Krishna, of course, as Cupid personified, the most beautiful youth. How is it that he's being allowed to fight? But they have full faith in their most beloved Cupid. And Nanda Baba, Mother Yashoda, they're looking at him in terms of Vatsalya Ras, parental Ras. How is this such unfair arrangement by the king that this small boy, our boy, has to face with these wrestlers? Everyone knows the major concerns of parents with their children, or those who have children, the great concerns that are there, that this parental feature is most unique because, especially in this situation, by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, they're thinking, it's just our little boy, this is an unfair arrangement. Even all the past events of killing Agasura, Trinavarta, Bakasura, all these demons, they're still thinking, this is just our little boy. So then the wrestlers, they're looking at Krishna as death personified. He's like such a powerful wrestler. They see him in a different light. Or the Vrishnis see him, oh, he is our king. He is our worshipful deity. So they see him in that more of awe and reverence. But then, of course, the coward boys, he's just our mate. And we know he's going to kick. So give him a good kick, you know. Mother Mungo sitting inside going, come on, you know, give it, get a kick, you know, take the tusk and take them all out. The term is, you know, kill them all. Let Vava sort them out.
you know, yeah, just kill them all. The coward boys have a whole chivalrous rock with their beloved Lord. But unfortunately, there's one personality which doesn't see these different mellows of attraction, these different mellows, these different rasas. Kamsa is fear. He's fear personified. As described earlier, he's seen holes in his shadows, problems with his head, inauspicious chariot associates, donkeys. You know, imagine a chariot, you're being pulled in a chariot by donkeys. And, you know, you're being brought to the planet of Yamaraj. Not so auspicious. So he's there, he's thinking, yes, Ishvaramaham Bhogi, Siddhanam Balavan Sukhi, oh, I'm powerful, I'm a controller, I've got my shield. I mean, he sent so many demons, they've been trashed by Krishna, Putana, taken out. Agasura, Trinavarta, Bhaka, all taken out. And he's thinking, but me, Amamiti, I have this power, I'm not going to be defeated. No way will I be defeated. So Kamsa is sitting there with his shield. But it's amazing that we know that ultimately, Anya Bilashya Shinyam Jnana Kama Anavritam, the devotional service, pure devotional service, is without obstacles, is without inebrieties. So according to these different levels of relationships, these persons are absorbed in Krishna as a son, as a lover, as our king, as death personified. It's amazing, the same little boy, can be seen. And this is a hallmark in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how we see how Krishna manifests the different rasas or attraction in all different features. Because throughout the Krishna Leela we see, whether Krishna's with the gopis or in terms of the gopas, with his parents, there's different expressions. He shifts gears so expertly. And it's quite a attractive feature to see the different varieties. But here we're seeing all the varieties in a nutshell. We just came from Puri, and it's amazing when we go to Jagannath Puri, you see different features of the Absolute manifest in terms of Aishwarya feature and worship of Lord Jagannath. But also we see the Adurya feature, where Mahaprabhu spent 18 years, his final years in Puri, in the mood of Radha, in a mood of separation from the Lord. Then ultimately we see how the Lord manifests his different opulences in terms of, yes, that Madhurya feature also. So the Madhurya, Adhurya, and Aishwarya features are all can be perceived in Puri. You may note when you go to Puri, everything is close together. You can do parikrama around Puri within 6-7 hours. So it's amazing, the mercy of Lord Jagannath, he reveals all these different features. So when we study this particular event, what a spiritual event. Like we were saying the other day, is like you have a coliseum, and now all this is like the main point of this whole attraction. Of course, yes, to kill Kamsa, but Krishna is drawing everyone's heartstrings. Because ultimately he's the center of attention. He does it expertly. The problem is, in the material field, we try to imitate. We try to imitate Krishna in so many ways by either taking his, usurping his opulences for ourselves, or trying to become Krishna. But what failures. So the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahmano hi pratishtaham, that actually I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman. And our philosophy is this, is that Brahmeti Parameti Bhagavatam Iti Shabdate. That actually there's the Brahman feature and there's the Paramatma feature. All different aspects of Brahman and the Bhagavan feature. Now here we can study that what Krishna, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is saying in his purport, that rasa lai saha, that Krishna is a reservoir of all rasas. He's a reservoir of all relationships. But you may know, Krishna says basis. that ultimately I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, meaning there's a foundation. Just like after class last night, this one lady came to me and she says, you're talking about self-realization and realizing the self, and you know, we pointed out in our talk that ultimately we're saying a few negative things about material culture or about the body, but in relationship to Krishna, there's so much positive there. So she was saying that ultimately you're talking about self-realization, but why all this talk? We're all God. This is the realization. Why are you talking about something? And just in basic analogies, we're just trying to point that, you know, with a, you know, the whole example of the water, qualitatively one with the ocean, but quantitatively different. But you see, didadani buddhiyogam tam, according to our desire, according to our orientation, we're convinced, due to our association, we take association because of desire, we're convinced of a particular perspective of the absolute truth. Yes, Krishna is Brahman, but Brahman has different features. And behind the impersonal feature is a most personal feature. So yes, what happens is that when we study Brahman, there are no qualities. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Kaur describes rasa by saha. Krishna is a reservoir of rasa. There is no rasa in Brahman in terms of impersonal understanding. So in other words, how is it when we study this particular pastime, what is a particular aspect of that personal feature? And we can note, Srila Vishwanatha Thakuravaya Thakura gives a very nice example about how Krishna, he reveals himself according to different, like sound, for example, has a different type of frequency. Or you look at the color spectrum, different colors, they combine in different ways. So according to our receptivity, we'll either see radio impersonalism or radio Krishna. How do you lean? According to your desire. You can, according to your desire, you will see the Lord according to your heartfelt focus. So it's interesting when we study that, now what separates a formless conception of the Absolute Truth to a param feature of personalism, of form? And ultimately, Srila Vishwanatha Thakuravaya Thakura describes that ultimately to understand these different levels means Krishna has to reveal himself. What does that mean? In other words, Brahman has no qualities. But when Krishna invests an understanding through the agent of devotion, of bhakti, then all of a sudden you see, okay, there's energy, but behind the energy is a personal source, like the clouds clear. Those who fly in the planes all the time, you can see sometimes you come down the airports, some often happens in Melbourne, you know, the cloud formations. You know, or especially if you go to Taiwan, where there's pollution cloud formations. You go under a deep blanket, you know, of clouds, then you see the city. So this Brahman conception it covers the supreme according to one's desire. But then when we study how this, when the Lord allows, and of course there has to be receptive jiva, that there becomes a personal feature there, then all of a sudden Krishna allows himself to be understood in different features, as we see in this particular pastime. Whether you want to see the Lord as a lover, whether you want to see the Lord as your son, see the Lord as a friend, see the Lord in terms of your worshipful king, or you want to see the Lord as death personified, mrityu sarvahanaschaham. You see, Krishna has this particular design, cosmic design. And ultimately, what is that design? Yeta mabhadyante tastaiva bhajanyaham. As you surrender unto me, I will reward you accordingly. So ultimately, he will not force us to be cognizant of him, to love him, but if we desire that, then the Lord steps into our life. As it's said over and over again, if you take one step towards Krishna, he'll take 10 steps, unlimited steps towards you. Haven't we all experienced that? We maybe come to Krishna consciousness with various motives, and as we take these small steps, like I was explaining, to one of our guests last night. If you simply add Krishna, you take the prasad, take the sound vibration, take the association, then step by step the pieces of the puzzle come together. And all of a sudden you begin to see the Lord in different features. The Lord is smiling in so many wonderful ways. For example, in the process of sadhana bhakti, when there's different tests a pilgrim may go through, a test a devotee may go through, if we try and forget Krishna, let's say we try and enjoy his external energy, then Krishna, you'll see the deity on the altar smiling, kind of smiling at us. But when we, through the, it may be the school of hard knocks, seeing so many dead ends in material culture, then the Dadami Bodhyogam Tum, and then Krishna begins to smile with us. Smile. We begin to smile with the Lord because we, for the first time in our existence, begin to live in harmony with His whole arrangement. First of all, the spiritual plane is meant for His pleasure. We're meant to be enjoyed by Him. So the material prison house means you just can't enjoy separately. You just can't do it. It's amazing to see. We travel internationally and see so many different flavors of trying to enjoy separately. I remember when I was traveling in Japan, they have these high-rise, like space station buildings where you can play all kinds of games, have all kinds of experiences in terms of being an infinite, in your infinite illusion. And they have like maybe 6 different floors. I mean, I could see the building from the outside. I didn't really want to check it out. And boy, the games are like, no, oh, I went too far. But ultimately, it's amazing to see. In a country like that, Maya is worshipped in such a wonderful way. These are actually Maya's grade A students. There's no real attempting in so many ways to experience what it's like to be God or how to enjoy God. But what happens here, it becomes an unnecessary event of embarrassing situations. So in other words, how do we break out of the unfavorable conditions in the age of Kali? How is it that bhakti can come our way? How can we desire? And ultimately it comes by the mercy of the person Bhagavat. We the book Bhagavat, Bhagavatam, we the person Bhagavat. By the grace of the Acharya, we can access these relationships. Just like if you want to go to an embassy and apply for a visa. Uh-huh. So if I go to the, for example, I want to get a visa for India, well, let's see, you know, and I say, well, actually, I'm a terrorist. I like bombs, it's my hobby. And, we like explosions. We like hurting people. Now, what's the embassy going to do? Excuse me, sir. Out. You know, they may even call the local authorities. We've got a terrorist here. So to follow, you have to follow different rules and regulations to be accepted into another country. So the same rules apply in terms of the cosmic situation. There is a particular Supreme Lord, and there's a particular cosmic universe he designed as his playpen, and hey, you want to play, then you have to pay. And the pay means surrender. But that type of payment is wonderful. It's very positive, because ultimately, the Lord gets pleasure, and we enjoy by being enjoyed by Him. But another scenario can happen is when we try to become a blamer of God. Now we're looking at the category here of Kamsa, or the wrestlers. They're a blamer. They're trying envious of God. So then their whole rasa, because here it's described, there's 12 different rasas, and one's Kamsa has ghastliness. Actually, I had a ghastly experience when I was in Vrindavan. I had my Govardhan Shilas, and they have a fruit store near the MBT. And I placed my Govardhan Shilas in a little box because I was having them being painted by one devotee. And I placed them down and I bought some fruit. And then I went back to the ashram. But when I went back to my room, I placed them in a strange place on my desk. behind my computer, you know, the big screens, you know, they block out certain things. So, and then I was looking, I spaced out. Where are my cockroaches? Where did I put them? I went down to the kitchen, oh no. And I had to run back to the stool, because I knew I put them on the desk there, and all of a sudden, they weren't there. I had to be cool. It's not like sannyasi carries his worshipful deity around and just leaves them behind somewhere. So I kind of had to be cool, coming back to the fruit stand, you know, like kind of checking things out. And I didn't see any weird faces on the Brajavasis, you know, like they kind of like, why? So you left your deities behind, you know? So, oh no, where are they? So you know what it's like to lose something, computer, nothing, you know, just like your Samsonite suitcase, you lose it in the travels, but your worshipful deities. Now talk about, that's my first experience of the ghastly Ross. What to do? And then, finally, oh, darn Apple computer. No, I was thinking, I didn't want to blame, this is my own fault. But interesting, when you try and approach the Supreme Lord in a mood of challenging, you become a blamer of God, then I don't exist. I'm not in your heart. I'm not anywhere. Actually, you are me. This is what Comps is feeling right here. So for a blamer of God, the Lord makes a perfect arrangement, of course, for your welfare and for your protection. Ultimately, that I don't exist. So you can see me in this particular Rosh, you can see me, but Rityu Savaharas Chaham, if you want to take that position with me, then I will come as all-devouring death. You speak to any nurse in the hospital, and especially Adi Purush, you know, he works in a very, you know, hospital situation, so they're dealing with death all the time. And ultimately, there's different ways people can leave their body. And there's different, even the Bhagavatam describes different apertures or holes in the body, which we won't go into here. According to your consciousness, you can leave in a particular hole. So anyways, Krishna has a sense of humor. If you want to challenge me, then this is the just desserts that come your way. Then ultimately, we see that actually, in this pastime in Leelas, there's like a play which is happening, is a contrasting situations, because we see there's experiences of Krishna in different levels, friend, lover, king, or death personified. There's contrasts that are here. We see an example for Arjuna, that he experienced a major contrast. Here, the Supreme Lord, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in 18 days, 640 million, killed within 18 days. I once did the mathematics to figure out how many soldiers per second. It was astronomical, but anyways. But now the Lord is telling Arjuna to fight, to kill family members. At the same time, the Lord is instructing them, always depend on me, become my devotee, surrender to me, devotion. It's like now, in terms of our material paradigm, it doesn't tally. There's not a balance here. The Lord's talking about all this violence. At the same time, he's talking about devotion to me, to actually surrender unto me, to love one another. It seems like a contradiction. So there's a contrast here. Like this pastime is a contrast. So then we see how, one verse how there's different contrasting relationships as we're working in the material field. That ultimately, the principle of service, dealing with the Lord in his different energies, the different types of experience. That ultimately, the position, you know, the benediction the king gives to the different personalities, that Raja Putrajiva, oh dear prince, may you live a long life. Because if you've got an opulent life, but as soon as the good times roll or over, well, you get the other side of reality. So you better enjoy long life. So Raja put, Majiva Muniputraka, oh Brahmachari, may you die now. You got a head start. It doesn't matter, you know, Brahmachari, Brahmachari, whatever, you know. Stop while you got a head start. No, in the sense that your life is simple now, you're devoted, don't make life complicated. So, jiva maro sadur, but oh sadhu, oh sage. I said this to Subhag Swami in Mayapur. He was sitting in the corner, and I go, oh sage, you may live nor die. Because while you're living, you're always remembering Krishna, your life is sublime. And if you die, galok dam ki jai. So either you live or die. But ma jiva maro iti, that he's describing to the butcher, may you neither live nor die. Because by living, you're living in hell, and when you die, you get the just desserts. You get a little bit of a darshan of yamadutas. Speaking about our hospital, actually they have this term the doctors use. When one leaves the body, it's a situation where they're given different types of drugs and morphine to counteract, because the people are experiencing different visions, different experiences, different even persons who can't move in their bed jump out into the chair, say, take them away, call the police. What's happening? It's not illusory experiences. Because it even described how the Yamadutas will send their little puppies to come check out. You know, dogs like to sniff. So they send their different representatives. So ultimately, I think the Bhagavatam has everything there. But everything is very clearly placed, clearly understood. So we may see these contrasting situations are very, very hard to understand. Queen Kunti in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, she is actually praying to the Lord to cut off my relationships with the Pandavas, cut off my family attachment. Now wait a minute. Ultimately, Acharya Mam Vijaniyam, the Lord says that you should accept the Acharya as my very self. It is through the devotees we approach the Lord. So why is she saying this? Why is she exalting, cut off my relationship? And Srila Vishwanath Thakuraraya Thakura describes it's because she is saying this in terms of if the attachment is not with Krishna, the only reason she should have that relationship with the family members is because of Krishna. But she does not want any kind of material attachment, because that will be an obstacle. So we see how the great devotees pray. They always want to place Krishna in the center. And in this way, not sacrifice, to not misunderstand that sacred relationship. Because what we get, what we have before us, the goals, the glories of devotional service, may be taken for granted. I think it was one pastime when Lord Shiva, he came to the earthly plane with Parvati. And Lord, was one beggar on the road asking Lord Shiva for some beg, something like that. And Parvati said, oh, please give this beggar something. And Lord Shiva said, look, this beggar doesn't know the value of anything I can give him, so why should I give him anything? And Parvati kept saying, please give him something. So then he gave him a beautiful watermelon. And inside the watermelon was all kinds of jewels. But the beggar was thinking, oh, a mundane watermelon. Just gave it to a few rupees to someone else, you know. Another person cuts it up. Ho ho! Just like yesterday, Krishna Nagarjuna had given some Mahaprasad, Shalagram Mahaprasad, the fruit in the cup. So I went to Maharaj's room. Because he had a strict diet, just one meal a day. But when he saw that Mahaprasad, beautiful, nice fruit offered to the Shalagram, he didn't see in terms of just, he saw jewels. He saw a great wealth. He goes, yeah. I think he responded, hey, hey, hey. So yes, devotees are enthusiastic. So in this way, we appreciate real wealth. And in this way, we learn not to study Krishna with our material preconceptions. We don't carry burdens in devotional service, because there's different rasas here describe different degrees of sensitivity. The Shankarchuta pastime, where Shankarchuta had this jewel in his crown, very beautiful jewel. And so Krishna, he wanted the jewel. Ultimately, we give everything to Krishna. He could have easily given him the jewel, but because he was so attached to his jewel, Krishna finished him. So then, next body, So in devotional service, we're being given the jewels of realizations in terms of the nam, in terms of service to the devotees, service, the opportunities of devotee association. We're given so many jewels. We may have different abilities. We may make garlands very nicely, dress the deities very nicely, we may manage very nicely. You have so many abilities, but if you become proud of your particular abilities, particular gifts coming to you by the grace of the Lord, by the grace of the Guru, then ultimately it's like a burden. Oh, I'm so qualified. I have this ability and that ability and this and that. And just like in a Western, you hold the guns, you know, the villain-like personality is shooting the guns, but backing up towards the door, backing up to get out. We use the philosophy, even Judd Barrett used the philosophy, oh, this deer has come my way, let me take care of this deer. But then he forgot, he didn't put emphasis in terms of his Krishna conscious efforts. He became attached to something which is temporary of this world. So the point being, this pastime, that we are given abilities, offer these abilities to Krishna. Then it's described how these abilities are a process of devotion. As we said earlier, bhakti is revealing. Krishna is revealing himself to us. So from bhakti comes bhakti. That is a source. So bhakti is bhakti. And more bhakti. So in this way, we see that Krishna reveals himself on his own time. Puritanaya sadhanam vishna vinashaka diskritam. He comes according to his own desire for various purposes. So we have to grab on to these jewels that have been given to us. And we want to use it as an insurance policy for further relationships with the Lord, further relationships with his devotees. And in this way, we are able to come in contact with what's known as sarupa lakshana, which is the intrinsic nature of devotional service. By hearing and chanting, there becomes a change of consciousness. Tathastha lakshana means a change of heart. There becomes a different orientation, a different degree of sensitivity. So this verse is wonderfully describing different degrees of sensitivity towards the Supreme. Of course, all above concerned, it's all beneficial because ultimately Krishna is in the center. Of course, we don't want to follow the footsteps of Kamsa to be inimical. But still, Kamsa, by that intense meditation, he was Krishna conscious to a certain degree. So then we come in understand how that these types of sensitivities lead to understanding, as I was trying to describe to this lady who was convinced that we're God last night, that ultimately that we have to understand that our relationship is based on a person, and that everything comes from a source. And in this way, when we understand there's a simultaneous oneness and difference, achintya bheda bheda tattva. This is the tantamount of our Gaudiya Vaishnava teachings. There's a simultaneously oneness and difference with the Supreme. She was convinced about the sense of oneness, which is true in terms of a qualitative fashion, but quantitative fashion, she couldn't perceive the difference. And when we studied Krishna consciousness in this light, we can see this essential feature. We are meant to be enjoyed by the Supreme. He wants to use you and you and you to celebrate his existence, to actually glorify himself. And we finally work in harmony with that natural scenario, that natural reality. Then we finally are able to become peaceful. We're finally able to become free. So sometimes we can become a little wooden-headed and take things for granted, to take the opportunity. Like if you go on a plane flight, you've paid so much money to get the ticket to go to the airport, you follow all the rules and regulations to get on the airplane, and then you just don't like the color of the carpet down the ramway to get on the plane. I just don't like green today. I mean, how ridiculous. Hey, mate, get on the plane.
So ultimately, what happens is we begin to try and study Krishna consciousness based on our own preconceptions. And then all of a sudden we fall on the platform of ascension. On our own strength, we're trying to make advancement. But Krishna consciousness is a reality of descension. The grace comes from above. So it's quite a charming affair when we study how Krishna is so appreciates our small steps, anaptakam. He is controlled by his devotee. And we take for granted that actually the Lord is so pleased by our little struggle. You may be struggling in such a way that the Lord is using that struggle to encourage others. Keep to the process. Everything is going to be all right. Just stay with the process. So the future is so bright. So it doesn't matter what place, like I was saying last night, some of you are here for the first time, others 2 weeks, others 10 years. Some we have practitioners in the room today, maybe 20 years, what have you. It doesn't matter where you start, add Krishna, and your future will be so sublime. Just add Krishna. Get rid of the preconceptions. As you grow older, the body breaks down a little bit, and then you have to use that early enthusiasm that you had as a young devotee to use the philosophy, use your enthusiasm to become an instrument on behalf of the Lord. And in this way, you'll see a very wonderful, bright future. And actually, even those who come in contact with you, even by seeing your smile, Yogamaya, they'll become purified. There's one nice pastime of one in the airport in Chicago. And one black gentleman who was there was cleaning. And he heard about this Prabhupada who's coming. This Prabhupada. And he goes in one interview. He did, when I saw him, he was like a short man. I thought he would be so tall. But he was a short man. But when I saw him, I did like the rest. I paid what they call his dandavats. I paid my respects to that man because he possessed a certain sense of power.
And ultimately, devotee, Krishna Sakti Vinayi Tarkavatana, that unless empowered by the Supreme Lord, one cannot communicate. One cannot push on the preaching. So remain dedicated to this most wonderful path, knowing well whatever shortcomings you may have will disappear in time. And you'll so slowly, the Lord, as the Lord sees your dedication towards your eternal Ras, whatever that may be, Krishna will give intelligence, he'll give empowerment, he'll give encouragement. All is there. You have a complete parampara, a background of personalities giving blessings unlimitedly. So simply take these blessings and trying to serve the Lord with an open heart, and you will realize the wonders which have been described in the Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam, by the mercy of the person Bhagavat. So we're very fortunate, so take advantage of our great fortune. So I will stop there. Anybody have any questions or comments?
It's interesting. The hindsight is easier than foresight. That we see how Krishna will place various devotees. It's like similarly Arjuna on a battlefield having to fight family members. And it's interesting because from our, shall we say, earthly standard, our preconceptions of Krishna's motivations, what is good, what is bad, becomes a bit tainted because of our training ground. That ultimately, the Vasudev and Devaki, performing many different lives as the mother of Krishna, had prayed
for this particular relationship of always becoming the parent of the Lord. So then they're placed in a position of calamity, just like Queen Kunti. Like the calamities come again and again. Now, do we pray for calamities? Do we have that level of consciousness? Because the calamities mean this: I will always remember my Lord. I always have to call out to my Lord. But that's a very exalted position. So in one sense, that how Vasudeva and Devaki were placed in that situation, because they had that whole mood of dependence on Krishna and despite all situations. So this was like a very conducive, shall we say, part of the play, where they could exercise that love. Even to the point to see your very child being have to go. See, our Vaishnava tradition speaks about this principle of viparlambaseva. Separation from the Lord like that. Seeing, like the gopis are seeing the Lord in separation, they can't, they're cursing Lord Brahma. Actually, our eyes are an impediment. They're cursing them, you're blinking for a matter of a second. But see, their attachment to the Lord is that strong. So on one level of consciousness, it's a very, to be in a prison, to have your child taken away. But for the devotee of the Lord, it becomes a shall we say, a sequence of and a chapters in one's life of complete absorption in the Supreme. A complete devotion, because you see that feature of Vasudeva Devaki is not as intimate as Nanda and Mother Yashoda, because that's a matter of their ras. They perceive Krishna in a particular light, so they're placed in a situation to glorify that. So what this does is increases our devotion, increases our sense of dependence. Why would Srila Prabhupada, Krishna's pure devotee, Shaktivishavatar, had heart attacks on the Jaladutta boat? Why is Krishna, if Krishna's all good, why is he doing this to the pure devotee? First of all, Krishna will never give us a test we cannot pass. And also, others are watching. By the example of what Srila Prabhupada went through and these different tests placed by Krishna, not only on his own resolve increased his love for his Lord, his dependence, meditating on the Jaladutta, on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said this was my only solace. That it placed the pure devotee into a seat of dependence. And whoever watched Srila Prabhupada, who watched that situation, also became benefited. Let me try and follow that example somehow or another, despite all situations dependent on Krishna. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. So what may be an apparent negative situation for a Devaki, in that sense, it becomes the optimal situation for their spiritual culture, as it was for, like, an example with Srila Prabhupada, but also those who saw what they went through. See, Krishna, this is an interesting feature. This word of being used is displeasurable in the material plane, but in the spiritual plane, to be used by Krishna is the topmost perfection. Our love is increasing, and others who watch us go through these situations, they become inspired. The devotee sees differently. And even like Christ, when he was placed, that ultimately he was first saying, why have you placed in this situation? But then he said, hey, you've given me this cup, my Lord, so why shall I not accept this cup? Why not shall I drink it of this cup? See, it's a different level of consciousness, a different level of transcendence. But we have to see in terms of the eyes of the Krishna conscious culture. And we have to see in eyes and not so much in terms of our experience, which may be very distasteful, viras, distaste of being used or being taken advantage of. But Krishna was using Devaki, was using Vasudev, but to their spiritual perfection. And plus, it's allowing the Lord to manifest four arms. Why? And then to manifest two arms, and then to be hidden away by his devotee. He's just like Krishna, is like the inconceivable. He just has it together in all levels. Anything? Yes.
Maharaj, I have two questions. that whatever the external knowledge is from, you know, material angles or whatever, I try to use, if my motivation is to try and find Krishna, then it doesn't matter what I try to use to try and find Krishna, I'm always finding Krishna there. So it's like the material knowledge backs up what the devotees are saying.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not my realization has been that my old lady is going to be known, my old knowledge is going to be known. So it doesn't matter what sort of format you use, if your goal is to find Krishna, you'll find him. Have you comment on that?
Yes, if also Krishna is Sarvakarta, he's all pervading. And as we study him in his various features, then we begin to see him in all situations. And when we study in that sense, whether term Krishna, when we study him in all situations, trying to see his presence, then we become automatically expert in the material field, because we're seeing Krishna, we're seeing the extension, just like the scientists. The scientists are dealing with this reality of cause and effect. And the spiritualists are also dealing with this reality of cause and effect. Actually, the scientists are looking at Satchidananda Vigraha in a particular feature of it. The devotees are looking at Satchidananda Vigraha in another feature, in the colorful feature, in the creative feature. So with that type of knowledge, we see from different angles of vision because we're actually linking with the source. So as you were saying, yes, ultimately by placing Krishna in the center, I can see him in different situations. But for materialists, it's a kind of an attitude of ascension. In other words, let me become expert in different angles of vision according to my power. But your orientation is different. Your orientation to see Krishna is on the power of parampara, is on the descending process. The graces come from above, the dhammi buddhi yogam tam. So it's the same equation, but a different perspective of that equation. You're depending on empowerment from above through guru by the mercy of the Lord, which means a mood of submission. But a materialist is thinking of a mood of power and control. It's a whole different reality. So that whole secret of submission, as I was saying, it just like changes one's whole ability to perceive things as they are. For example, you may have a next door neighbor, and you'll go see that neighbor, and you'll cook for the neighbor. You have a relationship. But if you never want to go to the neighbor's house, you never even turn your head towards their part of the yard, you never want to visit them, there's not so much a relationship. So Krishna, he becomes very attractive when we want to know his backyard, what it's like, how it's built, how it's designed, how you can assist in some type of activity within that yard. So there's a loving exchange. So Krishna, within the heart, I will make you a devotee. I'll make you remember me. I allow you to take steps. And my goodness, as you're taking steps towards me, I'm becoming taking steps towards you. I'm attracted by your devotion. So devotional service is not given freely. But for the atheistic class, the challenger class, the blamers of God, the ones who don't want to look in the yard of God, then, oh, you like this feature, so then I'll be invisible. I don't exist. Actually, I'm in your heart, but you don't know that. You can't perceive that. I remember when I was a child, I always remember those conceptions, especially I've been in my bed at night thinking about the two things I thought about. Is the length, unlimited breadth of the universe, the not ending, but also this feature that if there is a supreme, if there is a God, I guess that's the term that I used at that age, then what does he think about what I did this afternoon? In other words, I might have done something negative or caused some harm for some living entity, what have you. What does he feel about that? So that feeling was there, that impression, it nagged me. And what was frustrating for me, so many different spiritual paths, and so-called, as I grew up, I never found anyone who could really answer that until I came in contact with the Vedic perspective. That ultimately, that I am actually the friend of all living entities. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam. So we find that when we study how to be surrendered to Krishna, our intelligence is being given by Him. And this is where we feel comfortable, we feel fearless and expert in all situations. But on the other side, without that submission, then we become fearful in all situations. We're trying to understand everything with our little tiny intelligence. Okay. Anything else? Yes?
Mm.
Yes. Exactly. But it's like Brahman is Krishna. Brahman is, in terms of Brahman, is that eternal absolute. That when we look at the Brahman, that is Krishna in a sense of the Satchidananda Vigraha. So yes, from Krishna has these different aspects of his personality, but Krishna is Brahman in the sense of his eternality. But that, and so from the personal feature to the Paramatma feature to the Brahman feature in the sense of just his the aspect of voidness where there is no qualities, there is no relationships. But it's all Brahman in that sense. Krishna is the supreme cognizant whole. But the point is, it's the orientation towards understanding Krishna. So yes, there are different aspects in understanding Krishna, but ultimately that Brahman feature is spiritual. It is eternal. But the most, but behind the source, behind the energy. See, the personal source is also energy. The personal feature, Bhagavan, is energy. But behind, from that personal source, there's some various types of energies. The problem is that those who are on the path get tripped up by studying a partial feature of the Absolute Truth. And they forget to not even understand that indwelling witness, our indwelling guide within the heart. What to speak of understanding the Supreme Lord in His most personal form. All right. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Jagguru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Itai Guru Prema Nandi.